I was always just interested in making things, and my mum is a writer, and when I was a kid I wrote a lot and I won quite a few competitions and things like that, so I felt generally that was something that I did quite regularly, and I wrote short stories and poems and you know, emotional teenage stuff. No, so that was always present, and I was very interested in, like, mum took me to a lot of theatre, so I saw a lot of Beckett and things like that as a kid, and that was very influential on my thinking. And my dad played guitar and he'd been in rock bands, but it took a while for me to even think that that was an option, to go off and be a composer. Not because my family were unsupportive, quite the opposite is true, they were very, very supportive, but I came from a background where, you know, my granddad worked in Guinness and my other granddad had a stone quarry, so the idea of, like, going off and making a career in the arts didn't quite seem apparent. But when I said I wanted to study, my family were very supportive and they encouraged me to do it, which was great. So I always felt it was something that was worth doing. My dad was a massive Bill Evans fan and he really loved Chopin. So when I was a kid, the music that we had to learn on the piano was Satie and Chopin. I'm very happy with that, looking back, but it meant that there were holes in my knowledge, and that it wasn't until I took piano lessons formally that I did Mozart and Beethoven and things like that. And my experience with the piano was as a kid playing Satie and thinking the performance directions were normal, you know. And then also there was the stuff I was trying to listen to, you know, which, like, when I was a teenager, I was really into the Pixies. I love the Smiths, I love Morrissey, Joy Division, the Undertones, SLF, really love Stiff Little Fingers, you know. And they're all wrapped in, not just with the music, but in also the teenage angst. And at the same time, I had, like, the nerdy collection of wretched solo trumpet albums, you know, these cassettes with, like, you know, music by French composers nobody's ever heard of, and it's just like a virtuosic piece for the trumpet. So I had all that music, and then a lot of brass heavy orchestral music because I was a trumpet player, so you're listening to a lot of Mahler and Richard Strauss and things like that because it's got trumpets in it. But then I would do things like, somebody gave me a cassette, they dubbed a cassette to me of the soundtrack of Eraserhead, and I used to put that on and, like, play the trumpet to it, and just, you know, so it was a lot of weird stuff all mashed up.
Are your legs shave or wax?
Shave.
But the other thing that was very important was reading about music that you never got to listen to, or music that I didn't get to listen to for maybe 5, 10, 20 years later. There was a series, I think, in the Sunday Times that was profiles of experimental composers, and I would read these once a week. And I remember reading a profile of Lamont Young and thinking it just blew my mind, the idea of this music. And I I think it must have been 5, 6 years before I even got to hear any of his music. And it was at least 7 or 8 years before I got to hear the really hardcore stuff, like the well-tuned piano and some of the drums stuff, but all I could do is imagine what it sounded like. That was very important to me, was I felt outside of the mainstream, and I felt like I didn't live in what was a cool avant-garde city. I wasn't in, you know, Zurich during Dada, and I didn't live in New York, and I didn't live in Paris, and I was living in Dublin, you know, and you thought, what, you know, this is like a culture at times where anything experimental, anything avant-garde is stamped, the life is stamped out of it as quickly as possible. And so this seemed like this imaginary realm that I would sort of engage with, where I could imagine what it sounded like in a loft in New York in the 1960s. When I won the Kranichstein Prize in 2000 at Darmstadt, it did change things very much, because all of a sudden it led to me doing a lot more work in Germany. And maybe it was the prize, maybe it was the performance, maybe it was a combination of both. And then each time I would do work, that would lead to a new opportunity, you know. So it sort of, it felt, I was very, very lucky in that it felt like each commission led to another commission, you know, from somebody else at the end of that. And that was all of a sudden a context where People were really excited about what I was doing, and I felt that I certainly didn't feel in the majority. I still felt very much like I was doing the experimental stuff on the fringe, but it was being presented in big venues and by big organizations. And so that changed everything for me. And it's also just, it was like a great sort of mark of encouragement. You know, you sort of felt, okay, I'm doing something right, you know, and somebody's saying something's right. Because up to that point, like a standard issue Irish person, I'd sort of felt like an imposter and, you know, was what I was doing any use, you know? And so to have that big stamp of approval, of course it helped.
Hashtag imagine. You're on the London Eye with Liam. It suddenly stops at the top, and Liam goes down on one knee and proposes to you.
The work that I make is right now. Maybe I'll have a midlife crisis and I'll want to write some like really beautiful choral music. But like right now, what I'm interested in is work which is about this time that we live in and trying to deal with it in some way. That doesn't mean it has to be splashy and have, you know, memes from the internet in it. It can mean a lot of different things, but it's trying to address this time and looking forward to a time when I look back and my work actually seems very 2011, very 2015. That I can actually date it because it actually was about that time, rather than aspiring to make these works of timeless beauty, which, you know, the sort of the classic cultural narrative about the composer encourages.
Video celebrating kitten program.
Breaking up with Zane, and Harry heard everything. Harry, come Zane, we're leaving right now.
The Kardashian 2013 Christmas card, a tribute to the Illuminati entertainment industry.